Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 9th. A report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warns of a jump in the prevalence of arthritis and other rheumatic conditions by the year 2030. From 46 million U.S. adults now with arthritis, lupus, fibromyalgia, or related conditions, to about 67 million people by the year 2030, about 25% of the projected population. The experts say that most of the increase will come from those who develop age-related degeneration of joints in the hip, knee, or elsewhere, and an estimated 25 million will be in enough pain that they will have trouble moving around. And the CDC also estimated that there would be concerns about the toll that arthritis would take on the nation's health care systems, especially in the retirement states of Arizona, Florida, and California. We'll talk about this report, the projections, the concern over arthritis, and what you can do now to prevent disability, and what you might do now to deal with arthritis. Our guest physician this hour can give you some general advice, not personalized medical attention over the radio. Do you have arthritis or know someone who has arthritis? What questions do you have? What concerns do you have? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We'll talk some about what the Arthritis Foundation is recommending that Americans do now to decrease pain, improve quality of life, and limit disability. We'll talk about some of the various treatments and lifestyle changes that could help you or a loved one. Our guest is Dr. Chad Helmick. He is a physician and a medical epidemiologist with the arthritis program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
We'll do a little arthritis 101. What exactly is arthritis?
Well, arthritis is damage to the joint. Most clinicians would think of arthritis as being caused by rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis. From a public health point of view, we at CDC include some other conditions that those same arthritis doctors would see but don't damage the joints directly, things like lupus and fibromyalgia.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, arthritis is caused by what?
Well, there are 100 different types, mm-hmm. and the causes are not clear for most of those types. We can observe how many people have them. We have treatments for most of them, but actually what causes them is not so clear.
But it, well, for instance, my husband was recently diagnosed with arthritis in the knee, bone on bone. Is that, what is that?
Well, that sounds like it's probably osteoarthritis where the cartilage is worn away over time. That's one of the most common types of arthritis, and osteoarthritis of the knee in particular is one of the most common types of osteoarthritis.
Yeah, and that's from wear and tear, right?
Well, it's the risk factors that we know for getting osteoarthritis in the knee are jobs where you do a lot of bending or squatting, or getting damage through sports or occupation, or being overweight. Those all seem to be risk factors for getting knee osteoarthritis.
Well, he's not overweight. He was a runner for 30 years.
Well, running is not considered to lead to arthritis unless you're a very elite competitive runner, and then it might cause problems. But regular physical activity and exercise and jogging shouldn't put you at any higher risk for knee osteoarthritis.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because it does. A lot of the tips here are saying, you know, lose some weight, but that's not the cause of it in him. He's underweight, if anything.
Yeah, we tend to tell people if they're overweight or obese, which a lot of people with knee osteoarthritis are, losing weight will actually help with the pain. So every pound that you lose is actually four fewer pounds banging across your knee, and your knee can tell that, so you'll feel better.
So that's osteoarthritis. What is rheumatoid arthritis?
Rheumatoid arthritis is a type of arthritis where you get a lot of inflammation. It's an autoimmune disease where the body's attacking its own tissues, in this case, tissues in the joint. Again, nobody knows what really sets this off, but it tends to occur more often in women. And generally when they're younger, say in their 20s, 30s, although it can occur at any age.
Yeah. And these other related conditions, lupus and fibromyalgia, that's in that rheumatoid category?
Yeah, lupus is also an autoimmune disease where the body attacks a whole variety of tissues. Sometimes it attacks the joints, and that's where you'll get arthritis. But it'll attack other tissues as well, heart, lung, kidneys. So doctors that tend to treat that are the ones that treat rheumatoid arthritis as well. So that's why we include them.
Yeah. This report then says that the prevalence of arthritis is going to jump quite a bit over the next couple of decades.
Yeah, and we did this study at CDC, and what we did is simply took what we see today, say in 2005, the most recent year for which we have data, and we said, okay, let's divide it up into six age and sex groups, take those rates and apply them to what the census says the population will be in 2030. And that's where we get this big increase nationally from 46 million to 67 million people. And in Wisconsin, we did the same thing. That was our most recent publication, where we estimate that right now there are about 1.2 million people in Wisconsin with arthritis. And by 2030, there'll be an extra 160,000 people.
And this is because of the aging population primarily?
Yeah, the way we did the study is strictly based on what the population numbers are going to be in the future, and that's largely aging issues and people aging into high-risk groups for getting arthritis. Although I do have to say that right now today, most people with arthritis are younger than age 65. Most people are surprised to hear that because they think it's an old person's disease, but that's not true. In fact, children can get arthritis too.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to check our weather forecast, and then we're going to welcome questions from you. What questions do you have about arthritis? Do you have arthritis, and how are you dealing with it? What might you do to prevent the disability, at least, from arthritis? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at wpr.org. Our guest is Dr. Chad Helmick. He is a physician and medical epidemiologist with the Arthritis Program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 9th. Gene Purcell will be in for Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue. After 5, Gene's guest will examine how marketers manipulate parents to buy products for their children who are becoming consumers at an alarmingly young age, according to Gene's guest after 5 o'clock. We're talking about arthritis and how arthritis is on the rise across America and that it will skyrocket in the coming years with estimates from the CDC this month. 46 million Americans, U.S. adults now with arthritis or a related condition. That will jump to about 67 million people by the year 2030. In Wisconsin, we'll have a rise of about 160,000 people with arthritis. What might you do now to prevent arthritis or to prevent the disability from arthritis? We'll talk some about that, and we'll welcome any questions you have for our guest physician. 1-800-642-1234, and we have lines open for you now. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. So, Dr. Helmick, is this alarming to you or to the folks at the CDC that there will be this jump in arthritis, this projection of from 46 million to 67 million?
Yeah, we worry about it in part because arthritis is one of the leading disabling conditions in the United States already, and now it's going to increase even more. You cited the statistics of how many people would have arthritis, but along with that, we estimated people how many people would be limited by arthritis.
And how many will be limited by it?
About 25 million people will be limited by arthritis in 2030, up from about 18 million right now. So that's a lot of impact to have, and because arthritis doesn't necessarily kill people like heart disease or cancer, people tend to perhaps minimize its effect, even though so many people, about a third of people with arthritis, say that it does limit them in some way. And that's particularly important because as the population ages, people will probably be working at older ages. If they're working with arthritis, how are they going to do that? You know, you need to do the things you can do today to help prevent it and help deal with it once you have it.
Yeah. And what are some of the things that we can do now to limit disability?
Well, as far as preventing the disease from occurring, there's not much we can say right now. The one factor we do know that is if you're obese or overweight and you lose some weight, you can reduce your chances of getting knee osteoarthritis. More importantly, though, for the people who have arthritis, is what can you do to deal with the pain, which mm-hmm. is the pain and the function of the main problems. And there's several things you can do aside from seeing your doctor and getting a proper diagnosis. And aside from the medications that they use, there are a lot of lifestyle changes that people can make that actually have very big effects on pain and function. One is to stay physically active.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard sell sometimes for a variety of reasons. 20 years ago, doctors were telling people with arthritis not to be physically active. There's a lot of evidence since that time that that's exactly the wrong thing to do, that by staying physically active, you keep the muscles and tendons and ligaments around your joints stronger so they can support weight much better.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of physical activity we're talking about is not high-impact stuff, but walking. It's very good physical activity. Stationary bikes, and what a lot of people with arthritis find helpful is aquatics. The other thing that we've found is that you can do these things, although we recommend that you do them for 30 minutes a day for at least 3 days a week, you can do them for 10 minutes at a time. So you can start off slow, do something for about 10 minutes, pace yourself, listen to your body, and try to get in that 30 minutes in little segments during the day.
Yeah, I know my my husband is not doing stationary bike. He's doing a regular a bicycle, but he gave up running because of that pounding that hurts, and he's biking more. Is that all right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fine. The stationary bike is just something you can do in any sort of weather for most people. But the idea is that you're getting the physical activity and strengthening your muscles without actually causing a lot of impact across the joint.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else in terms of coping with arthritis?
Yeah, we talked about losing weight, and we don't have any magical ways for people with arthritis to lose weight, but that always helps. Again, every pound you lose is 4 pounds less banging across your knee. And one of the most important things people can do is actually get educated about arthritis and self-management, because you're going to be managing your arthritis 99.99% of the time, and you need to know how to do that best. Learn about the disease, learn how to anticipate dealing with doctors and the healthcare system, how to anticipate pain and functional problems.
Mm.
And there are several programs people can go to get help on this.
There have been problems with some of the prescription drugs to deal with arthritis, haven't there?
Yeah, some of the newer drugs that were helpful in what we call COX-2 inhibitors, like Celebrex and Vioxx, that were under suspicion of having adverse effects related to the heart. And Celebrex is still on the market, but there are a lot of other medications people can use that can help with arthritis. Tylenol is one that a lot of clinicians like just because it has very few side effects, yet deals well with pain. And there are other things like Naproxen or Motrin that can help as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a call from Beatrice in Rhinelander first. Hi, Beatrice. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about this new resurfacing technique for hips. I have one bad hip, which I am trying to put off till it gets worse, and I was wondering what the resurfacing versus hip replacement surgery, is there any advantage?
Yeah, that's something I'm not totally familiar with. The idea behind that is rather than have a major invasive surgery where you replace the whole hip, If you're suitable, to just replace the surface of it and see if you can get a lot of years out of it that way. So it's much less invasive, and people think they can buy time that way until you might need a whole joint replacement.
Yeah, that's what our Governor Doyle had, wasn't it, Beatrice?
The resurfacing,
mm-hmm.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really just kind of a temporary thing till you need a new hip.
Well, and it's new enough that maybe it'll last a long time, too. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. My husband also had a knee surgery. He didn't have a replacement, but there was a meniscus issue that he had corrected. But that doesn't correct the arthritis, does it?
No, but it's very important if you have some sort of joint injury, like a meniscal tear or a ligament tear, like an ACL a lot of athletes get, is to get that treated properly. Otherwise, the mechanics of your joint go awry, and that can very quickly lead to bad arthritis.
Yeah. The only surgical solution for a joint affected by arthritis is some sort of replacement. There's nothing, that you can do short of replacement or resurfacing?
There's a lot of different surgical techniques, and again, that's not something I know so much about as a public health doctor, but
right.
They don't have to replace the whole joint. There are procedures that try to even out the joint if it's leaning to one side or another too much, or replace pieces of the joint rather than the whole joint.
Yeah. What is the CDC report also was concerned about the cost, the toll on the healthcare system because of this?
Yeah, we did a study that came out a few months ago trying to look at just what is the cost of arthritis, and we took into account whether you had 8 other expensive diseases and tried to pick out that portion of all your costs that are due to arthritis. And what we found is that in 1997, when we did this, the costs were about $86 billion overall for the country. When we repeated the study in 2003, they'd gone up a lot to $128 billion. And probably the most interesting thing is, although there were shifts within the costs of, or the causes of these costs, in other words, there were more drug costs, fewer in-hospital costs, the average cost per person stayed pretty much the same. What was driving this was just more people with arthritis.
I wanted to ask you about, because I'm confused, I've read different things about how some doctors are suggesting people take fish oil for arthritis.
Some doctors recommend that. There's some evidence that it might help with some of the inflammatory types of arthritis, like rheumatoid arthritis, but there are medicines that we use now, and particularly for rheumatoid arthritis, they're much more effective than what we had, say, 15 years ago. Rheumatoid arthritis is classically the type of arthritis that gives you a lot of deformity, particularly in your hands. With these new medications, we really shouldn't be seeing that in new patients that get rheumatoid arthritis. We should be able to prevent that.
We're talking with Dr. Chad Helmick. He's a physician, a medical epidemiologist with the arthritis program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. We're talking about a new report showing arthritis, the prevalence of arthritis, will skyrocket in the coming years. And that's due primarily to an aging population. Talking about arthritis itself and how it might be prevented or treated, the lifestyle changes which might foster more health and well-being. And we welcome your questions, your thoughts on this. How are you dealing with arthritis if you have it? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Wednesday, May the 9th. It's 6:36. We're talking about arthritis this hour. Arthritis is on the rise in the U.S., according to a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This report says arthritis and other rheumatic conditions will be a growing problem for the country due primarily to the aging population, and health officials are concerned about the disability that will be caused by the disease and the cost to the medical system. The estimates are that in the coming years, arthritis, 46 million adults now, will rise to 67 million adults in the year 2030. that will include arthritis and other related conditions like lupus and fibromyalgia and other rheumatic conditions. Officials also say an estimated 25 million will be in enough pain that they will have trouble moving around. Health officials and the Arthritis Foundation say that you can do things now to reduce the impact of arthritis. We're talking about how to try to prevent arthritis, how to deal with and treat arthritis, and we're welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. This CDC report was released this month, which is National Arthritis Month. And we are talking about it with Dr. Chad Helmick. He is a physician and medical epidemiologist with the Arthritis Program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. And we did get an email, Dr. Helmick, from someone who wants to know if gout is related to arthritis, and if so, are there similar recommendations as to how to deal with that, and specifically dietary recommendations?
Yeah, gout is an interesting type of arthritis, and it is a type of arthritis, but it's one that comes and goes. It has an underlying metabolic problem where you have too much uric acid, and sometimes that uric acid crystallizes in the joint and causes exquisite pain, from what I hear, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it does come and go, so it's unlike the other types of arthritis that pretty much come and stay there. We count it as arthritis because there's so many people that have it. It's about 5 million or so people that have had gout arthritis in their life. The one nice thing about gout is that it's very treatable. There are some medications you can take that deal with the underlying metabolic problem, help reduce that bad uric acid and reduce the number of attacks you have. Now, as far as preventing gout attacks, medicines are very good, but a lot of people with gout are overweight. Losing weight can help with that. As far as diet goes, if they can cut back on some of the rich foods can sometimes cause uric acid to go up, that can help too.
Does that mean fatty foods?
Not so much fat. It's things that are high in proteins of various sorts, seafoods and meats and things like that. But nowadays, the medications we use are so much more powerful than the dietary changes you can make that we tend to stick with the medications for the most part, but try to get people to lose weight as well. The other thing is that you can get gout attacks precipitated by alcohol, because alcohol raises this bad uric acid. Low-dose aspirin can raise this bad uric acid as well. So those are some things to think about if you have gout.
And we'll go now to Dennis in Sister Bay. Hi, Dennis. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. A number of years ago, I think there was a bit of a stir of excitement about the fact that they were using cartilage implants in Sweden, and there was some hope that that might offer some relief for suffering for people with arthritis. What's the status of that today?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember reading about that as well, and the idea is that the damaged cartilage you get with a disease, say like osteoarthritis of the knee, you could go to where the cartilage is damaged, remove that, put in these new pieces of cartilage, and hopefully have a normal joint again. That's not been found to be a standard treatment yet. I think it's still in the research stage. They haven't gotten it to work as well as they'd like.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on, I'm going to mispronounce it, glucosamine, chondroitin, something? It's a supplement that was supposed to help the fluid around the joints?
Right. This is glucosamine or chondroitin sulfate, sometimes called Solden combination. That's been found to be useful in the veterinary world for arthritis. It's used in Europe. It's used in this country a lot, too, as a supplement, and it helps some people, doesn't help others. There was a recent study done, tried to look at this objectively, and found that it really did not make a difference in most people who had arthritis. It possibly made a difference in those with more moderate or severe arthritis, but that wasn't really the objective of that study. And the main finding is it didn't really help. But that is not to say that if individuals find that it helps, that they shouldn't keep on taking it. It doesn't seem to have any adverse effects.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be no harm in continuing to take that.
We'll go now to Deborah in Watertown. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I suffer from arthritis, not the rheumatoid type, but the regular other type of arthritis. And I was wondering, in general, what can patients do to treat the chronic pain and the knees going out, and it's spread up into my back now? I've been told by my doctor that I'll need a knee replacement, and I'm 50 years old at this point, and I just want to know, you know, most of the treatments have failed, and I just want to know why doctors are so hesitant to, you know, give me a new knee when I'm at the prime of my life and that's when I'm going to be moving around, and what other things I could try besides, you know, I've been through the standard stuff that they do with physical therapy, and I had one knee scrape to make it the arthritis even, and that didn't work. And I just really want to be able to walk again and not have to sit down after 3 minutes, mm-hmm. you know. And I was just wondering, you know, what other options people might have who have the disease in both of their knees. And
that's Deborah, thank you. Hold on a second. Let's get Dr. Helmick in on this. That a 50-year-old woman with arthritis so bad in her knee or knees that she can't even really walk around, Dr. Helmick.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. This is what happens. And as I said, most people with arthritis are younger than age 65. So what you do about that is, it sounds like you've done a lot of the right things. You've seen a doctor about this. You had a physical therapy. Trying to keep the joints as strong as you can through some sort of physical activity might help. I don't know if you've tried aquatics.
I bought a swimming pool this year to help with that. Mm-hmm.
You bought a swimming pool, did you say?
Yeah.
Does it help?
Well, I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, yeah.
It's still coming.
You're in Wisconsin and I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah,
so it's
that's right.
So you want to keep that joint as strong as you can. The idea that it's getting into your back now, that's possibly from, you know, the knees being out of alignment and sort of stressing other parts of your body there, too. So that could be going on. Now, the reason your doctors may be hesitant to replace your knee is that you are relatively young, and these knee replacements, although they're getting better and better, they don't last 30 years yet. So if they gave it to you now, they might have to replace it in 20 years or so.
Yeah,
so, one reason to hesitate, but... They're getting better and better, and they're doing these in younger people all the time, especially when it has a big effect on your quality of life.
Well, it really is having an effect on the quality of my life. I mean, I can't stand to be in pain every day, and my husband has developed Parkinson's disease, and I really need to be able to use my legs.
And we're so sorry you're going through that, Deborah, but again, her doctor is hesitant because typically... they don't want to do a knee replacement on someone so young because it'd have to be done again. But I guess Deborah is saying, well, so what? Then do it again.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times the decision on whether to do a total joint replacement really comes down to just how much pain and how much bad function are you having.
Yeah.
And you have to judge that and sort of balance out the various risks. You know, you might have to have a second knee replacement at some point.
Well, I hope that pool helps. She's going to get a pool this summer. Sounds good to me. We're going to take more questions for Dr. Chad Helmick, a physician, medical epidemiologist with the arthritis program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, talking with us about this new CDC report predicting a surge in arthritis and related conditions over the next couple of decades. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7. Should universities be able to punish students for trouble that they cause off campus? After 7, I'll talk with different guests about a proposal by UW-Milwaukee to crack down on bad student behavior off campus and how other campuses in the UW system might follow suit. We're talking about arthritis for the rest of this hour, and our next caller is Barbara in Madison. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, I just feel awfully happy to be able to belong to a wonderful health club here in town, and actually I'm standing here in my bathing suit because I'm going to go there as soon as I'm finished with this call.
Good for you.
And I'm 81 years old. And I've managed to stave off my other hip replacement. I did have one 7 years ago, and it worked well. But I'm trying not to have this done at all, and it may be working. And what I wanted to ask you, Doctor, was I'm taking chondroitin, glucosamine, and fish oil and a regular vitamin. And then I wonder... if one takes acetaminophen, 500 twice or three times a day, is that an okay thing?
Yeah, acetaminophen or Tylenol is the brand name for that. That's quite an acceptable dose, well within the normal range of what doctors would prescribe.
Uh-huh. And is there any other kind of supplement that I can take besides the chondroitin and glucosamine fish oil that also would be beneficial to my being able to stave this off?
Yeah, not things that scientifically show that. You know, if you find that the glucosamine and the fish oil help, that's fine because they don't have too many side effects. But the science doesn't show that it helps most people on average. I mean, probably the best thing you can do is what you're doing, staying physically active, getting in the pool, keeping those joints strong, you know, keeping your weight down and learning how to manage your disease.
Yeah, why do the aquatics or any other physical exercise, why does that stave off the disability due to arthritis?
Well, any sort of physical activity that strengthens the muscles and tendons and ligaments around the joint makes that joint stronger and better able to support weight.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, what people like about aquatics in general is that when you're in the water, you unload your joint in particular, so there's really very little weight on it. It makes it easy to move that joint through a full range of motion, get some exercise against sort of general water resistance without having a lot of weight on the joint or across the joint. So you can work out those muscles without actually putting a lot of weight on the joint itself.
Yeah. Next, we're going to go to Jerry in Genesee Depot. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air.
I have a question. I've been riding bicycles for about 50 years already, and usually anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 or 3,000 miles a year. People are telling me, oh, you better be careful. You're going to wreck your knees and this and that. But I'm not experiencing any specific problems, although my father was arthritic, and somehow or another when we were on the farm, he got away from it, but he was eating an awful lot of aspirin for about 5 or 6 years. And I don't seem to feel that I'm having any difficulty. I'm a rather moderate rider. And is there anything to that? They say the more you use your muscles maybe or your knees, the sooner you're going to have a problem.
Well, I think, as I said earlier in the show, that if you're physically active at a lead or competitive level, say in running, for example, you might be at a slightly higher risk of getting knee problems. But bicycling in particular doesn't have that sort of high impact on the knees. So what you're doing is avoiding the high impact on the knees and yet keeping all those muscles and tendons and ligaments strong. So you're, in theory, doing everything right to keep from getting knee problems.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Jerry?
No.
Yeah, thanks very much. You know, I was not a real athlete when I was younger, and talking to some of my now, you know, aging baby boomer girlfriends who were, they talk about all the aches and pains that they have, and they kind of blame the fact that they were, you know, playing softball and volleyball and all these other things when they were younger. Anything to that?
Well, there could be. One of the risk factors for getting problems in joints is having an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, I don't know how old you are, but...
old enough.
Sounds like, you know, if there were injuries that weren't treated properly, then
mm-hmm.
you might be putting more stress on that joint over time, and over decades you might get into difficulties.
Yeah, I do see here in from the Arthritis Foundation to one thing you do when you are young or middle age is to try to prevent sports injury as one way to, you know, try to prevent the arthritis.
Right. Right. Prevent the sports injuries or occupational injuries, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
if you can. And if you do get injured, try to get it fixed right. You know, one of the fastest ways to get arthritis is to have untreated say, ligament injuries to the knee, and you can ask a lot of football players about that mm-hmm. because they have lots of problems with their knees in later life that because they played through pain and through damaged knees. So if you can get those fixed up and get the biomechanics right again so that you're not unduly stressing different parts of the knee, you should do well.
And we did have a caller who just wanted to say, she's not online, that she did have a knee replacement at the age of 45 and is doing great right now and is very happy she had it. Sometimes doctors will perform a knee replacement on someone younger, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. And what you can say is that that's one of the cures for mm-hmm. knee problems is to replace the knee. And it's generally a very satisfactory response. People have told me that all of a sudden they can do things they haven't done in years. They feel mm-hmm. like a new person.
Yeah. We have an open line and time for you with about 5 minutes left in the hour for you to ask a question or maybe even offer your own suggestion on how you're dealing with arthritis. Our guest is Dr. Chad Helmick. Our number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Talking about arthritis because it's National Arthritis Month, and the CDC released a report this month talking about the predicted surge in the prevalence of arthritis in the United States from about 46 million adults suffering from this now to 67 million adults in the year 2030. Frank in Dresser is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering if or what your opinion is of something called prolotherapy, which I gather is the injection of a sugar solution into arthritic joints. It's supposed to help build up the cartilage or firm it up or something like that.
Have you ever heard of that, Dr.
I've heard of it. I don't know too much about it. I don't think it's one of these interventions that's been evaluated to see whether it helps on average or not. You know, mm-hmm. there are a lot of potential interventions out there because there's so many people that have pain and functional problems with arthritis. What we try to do is focus on the evidence-based interventions, things that have been studied in randomized clinical trials, you know, where people are very neutral about it and see how well, you know, the intervention works. I don't know if prolotherapy's had that or not. I just don't know one way or the other.
Yeah, thanks, Frank, for the call. Any talked a little bit about diet when it came to gout. Is there dietary recommendations for arthritis in general?
But not really. It's just important to, again, keep your weight down because every pound less of weight is 4 less pounds across the knee. And it just helps in general to keep your weight down, helps with your heart and lungs and other things as well. So I don't have any particular dietary mm-hmm. recommendations, just keeping the weight down. But I can just add a little bit. I've been pushing a lot about physical activity, and again, that might seem counterintuitive if you're in pain. You know, why should I get up and start doing more?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's very good science, some of these evidence-based studies I talked about, that if you do that, you know, you'll have less pain in a few weeks. So that's sort of an investment.
Mm-hmm.
The way to go about that is just to make sure that you don't have an acutely inflamed joint. You don't want to be physically active with that. But if you're just having pains, start out slowly, listen to your body. Try to work your way up, do a little bit more every day. There are programs that can help you with this. The Arthritis Foundation, and I'm sure there's a chapter in Wisconsin, has several programs that can help.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, we did hear from somebody from the Arthritis Foundation in Wisconsin, 70 different programs for people with arthritis around the state. You can go to the website arthritis.org and the toll-free number 800-242-9945. Sarah in West Allis. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis about 3 years ago. About 4 years. And I was on methotrexate for a while and had minimal relief. And then I went to Dr. Mercola in Chicago, and he had me go on a special diet where I avoided all grains that had contained gluten and also processed sugar, processed foods. And about 6 months, I experienced relief, and I've been in remission ever since. It's amazing. I'm off all medicine.
Yeah,
so
it sounds.
I've heard from him that a lot of people had success following these dietary guidelines. I'm just wondering what your comment is on it.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well with this. There are a couple of things I can say. One is what we tend to do is anytime you have a diagnosis of a chronic or serious illness is to get a second opinion just to be sure what you're dealing with. That's true with rheumatoid arthritis because sometimes there are viral types of arthritis that can come and go. It's possible you had one of those. But you could have rheumatoid arthritis too, and sometimes that gets better and sometimes it gets worse. We're not sure what causes that. It sounds like in your case maybe that diet helped, and that's good, but I don't know that dietary intervention has been studied in lots of people to see if it would work for lots of people or just for you.
Well, now we're leaving lots of callers on the line who have questions, and I apologize to them. I want to thank you, though, Dr. Helmick. We're out of time for being with us.
All right. You're welcome.
Dr. Chad Helmick, physician, medical epidemiologist with the Arthritis Program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, talking with us about arthritis and a new report on arthritis saying that it's going to jump in the next couple of decades. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.